Hello and welcome to Arcane Connection. It's been a while. It's been 5 years since the last episode, I think. Is that right, Tom?
It's been about that long, 2019. Yeah, nearly five.
And in that time, we have not played Ars Magica at all. In fact, we deny any knowledge of this game known as Ars. No, that's not true at all, is it, Tom? What have we done for the last 5 years?
We have partaken in the writing of Magonomia, a fate-based game of Renaissance wizardry, as published by Andrew Gronofsky.
Oh yeah, Shoestone Press. That's an excellent game. If you haven't seen Magonomia yet, check it out. It's available on DriveThruRPG, and it's available in both hardback and PDF, if you want to be an Elizabethan wizard. But, have we played Ars Magica?
Yes.
Have we played Ars Magica more than ever before?
You've over-ambitiously started a saga of many covenants running to roughly the same timescale, play through Discord.
And we ended up with, at a high point, I think we had 27 players. I think we've got less than that now.
And also, people who used to play in multiple covenants have had to cut back to one each because many of them were just exhausting themselves and spreading themselves too thin.
Yeah, I mean, we had people who played in three or four different covenants, but yeah. I've always preferred it when people play in one covenant. Anyway, let's get back to the start. To begin with, I'm Chris, CJ, Chris Jensen Roma. My only claim to talk about Ars Magica is that I wrote for quite a lot of the 5th edition books, and I've been playing since, 4th edition, actually. I did play in 2nd edition, but for some reason, I never took up the game. So, Tom, what about you? When did you start playing Ars Magica?
So, in the 90s, I played 3rd edition briefly. Then, never played 4th edition for many years. Took up 5th edition. I tried it with a group. Didn't really catch on. Moved to Cheltenham. Met you. Took it up again, and this time it stuck.
Right, and we ran together. We ran the York saga. Yep. That lasted for 2 or 3 years, I believe.
At least 3, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long-running saga.
Yeah.
And in that, we explored quite a lot of how the rules work over a long time.
Yeah.
And one thing about Ars Magica is I run an awful lot of games at conventions. Mm-hmm. I'm probably best known to most UK role players for my convention games, where I turn up and I run a short 4-hour adventure with pre-generated characters where people have fun.
Yes.
And hopefully they enjoy that experience. And, you know, it's good. It's a good introduction to a lot of game systems.
Yes.
I'm not very good at introducing Ars Magica in 4 hours. Why is that, Tom?
There's a lot to introduce. If you're trying to introduce the magic system, it's very hard to get people involved straight away and to get them to use their different spells and explain how bits work. Ars Magica's magic system, there are so many subtleties you can lose yourself easily. And if you try to introduce it just as a game of people in medieval Europe dealing with the supernatural, you can do that, and people have a lot of fun doing that, but are you getting the full Ars Magica experience?
And I mean, Ars Magica, as someone once said, I can't remember who it was, is a game for people who like homework.
It does. If you want to bookkeep, there's a subsystem for everything.
There is indeed. I'm still here, surrounded by cats. Loki, you're a newcomer since the last podcast. I don't think anyone's met you before, so would you like to say hello, Loki? No, he's passing by. Anyway, it's a game which really does reward campaign play. And if, like us, you find it difficult to get a group of friends into your basement or round to your house to play once a week, how do we get round that?
Well, you can play by voice. There's many virtual tabletops, although... what was it? Fantasy Grounds we tried, but their sheet's not been updated. The Roll20 sheet is okay, but fairly basic. So really, Zip Foundry is the only one worth finding workable for your needs.
Well, I found Fantasy Grounds Unity fine while I was willing to push people to help push work on it and develop it. But we eventually switched over to Foundry just because some people have produced a lovely working sheet, but the learning curve there is really high. And that is the problem compared with Fantasy Grounds. But which virtual tabletop to play? I mean, Zoom works fine if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Which virtual tabletop is not where we're starting this. What we did was, having run a 3-year in-person Ars Magica campaign, we were all burnt out.
Yeah.
And we went away and I ran a Traveller campaign and a D&D campaign and various other games. And then I came back to Ars Magica. And Obviously, we've run Grand Tribunal for the last 4 years as well.
Yep.
And we've had David Chart hasn't been over, I don't think. Yes, he has in the last four years.
He has, yes.
And he made an announcement, which was very exciting, which was that Ars Magica would be releasing a definitive edition. There will be a final version of what is the fifth edition with all of the virtues and flaws and errata. And I mean, the game's had, 10 years? No more than that. 2013, yes. Was it came out?
No, early 2000s. Before I even moved to Cheltenham, I'd already been with a group in York where we'd tried Ars Magica.
Actually,
and gone with it.
I was on honeymoon in York when I was working on the Mysteries Revised in 2003. So there you go, 2003.
Christian, I know this is a sad confession, but I do in fact keep a couple of Ars PDFs on my phone. If I go and check, go on, take a guess. Take a guess as to what the copyright date on the core book's going to show.
September 2003, that's my guess.
Okay, right, hang on a minute. Where are we? Ooh, okay, so the digital edition has got a 2011 copyright. When's the actual date that got released? Ooh.
I think it's about 20 years ago. Yes. I mean, I find that hard to believe.
So the digital one is then, hang on, let's take a look. Have they labelled these all with digital dates? Maybe they have.
Well, I've been with Becky for 20 years next year, and I think that Lisa, my housemate,
oh, yes,
we were married at that point.
So the Mysteries is copyrighted 2006?
Yeah.
So the Cools must have come out a couple of years before then. So
yeah, 2005, yeah, 2004. But, yeah. I mean, we were playtesting throughout a long period before. Let's get back to things people who play Ars Magica are interested in. So what we did was we decided we'd try something different. And after the York saga, there were a few years downtime, and we have a running joke that various people from Atlas tell us about their plans for Ars Magica, and none of them ever come to fruition, which is sad, really. I mean, at least this time with David, we know it will happen. But we've not seen Magic Shoe, which was meant to be a gumshoe-based system. For those of you who don't know Gumshoe, it's a role-playing game designed by Robin Laws. Him and Ken Hyde did Trail of Cthulhu, which is probably the best-known iteration of it. But there's also Knights, Black Agents, Mutant City Blues, and a whole load of others. And that's produced by Pelgrane Press. And this was going to be a crossover. There's also Casting the Runes, the M.R. James game, which I wrote an adventure for. And indeed a campaign, though, that will probably never be published now. For various reasons. But Gumshoe is a completely different system. It's very different, isn't it?
Definitely.
So we weren't expecting Gumshoe. Magic Shoe, as it became known, was never really expected to take off. But I think it could have done.
It could have done.
I think it could have done.
It would have been an interesting variation, yeah.
It would have been more Brother Cadfael.
Yes.
Unless... anyway, what we did was we came back and I was asked by some friends if I would run a game on a Sunday afternoon. And then another group were interested in playing. And so we started off with two covenants, one which was based on the south coast of England in a bay, multi-insular or Wadenholm. That was one afternoon group. And they were the people who dropped out first. But the other group were Witchwood, which was a small covenant in Oxfordshire, on the border of Oxfordshire, Worcestershire and Warwickshire, I believe. And we've actually been to the physical location of the covenant with...
It's not that far from the Royal White Stones.
No, it's very close to the Royal White Stones. We went there with one of our South African players who came over. Anyway, she had a good time. We all enjoyed that. That was a lovely location. So we went out and we saw where Witchwood is. Well, the Witchwood Covenant and Wadenholm, I then added to my existing Ars Magica campaign that I'd been running on a Monday night, was it? Or Sunday night? I can't remember. No, Friday night. Which was, had moved online simply because of the pandemic. So that was 2020.
Yeah.
And we'd been using Fantasy Grounds, which is a virtual tabletop, to play online. And we discovered that there were quite a lot of people scattered around the country who hadn't played Ars Magica because they couldn't find a group. Well, being able to play online suddenly meant that, A, the record keeping became so much easier.
And, of course, everyone can transfer things between each other. And if you've got a big central spreadsheet or on a Google Doc, everyone can suddenly see what year you're up to, what books in the Covenant Library. It makes so many things easier.
because we started a covenant, we now had three or four covenants. We then had magi from one covenant begin to trade books and design magic items,
yes,
and teach magi from other covenants. And breakthroughs began to spread. And in fact, people have spent many years now trading. And we've, yes, had, we've actually had a chance to see what a functional hermetic tribunal would look like.
Yes.
And this is really testing the rules beyond the point of destruction, because nobody at the time which Ars Magica was originated, back in the 80s, I think, ever imagined that you'd be running a game with 20-odd players.
No.
All with multiple magi apprentices and all doing research, etc., etc., because the idea was madness back then. But actually, it's worked really well. I mean, it has been a very successful campaign.
Yep.
And one of the theoretical critiques of Ars Magica, and I can't remember who originated it, but they are very clever, is a mathematical one, which is, in ours, arts increase over time, so that if you start off with a generalist with 5 in everything, but you start off with a specialist with 15 in an art, over time, because of the way books work and because of the way the XP works, it costs you as many XP to go from 14 to 15 as it would to go from 1 to, does the maths quickly in his head, 7, I think.
5.
Okay. Yeah, of course it is 5, yeah. Pyramid points, but you, yes, know, I mean, from 1 to 2 costs 2, from 2 to 3 costs 3, from, yeah, 3 to 4 costs 4,
yeah,
and from, yeah, so those XP, the way it works is you would imagine that everybody would end up with scores of 15 in everything or 16 in everything, wouldn't you? But that hasn't happened, even after
we've not reached saturation point yet.
And how many years in the saga have we played?
Decades.
We started in 1189. What's the current date?
1236, maybe?
No, it's 1250s now, I'm sure.
Was it? I don't know. It's been so long. It's been decades. I'm surprised my red cap hasn't died from old age. His longevity ritual has really performed.
I mean, the characters now, some of the starting characters who were in their 20s are now in their 80s. The Sir Bedivere, the Knight, and they have had longevity rituals which, yeah, have kept them going. But like Pendragon, except in Pendragon, we never managed to play that far. We always ended up playing through the anarchy phase, and then the campaign would come to an end sometime, yeah, or other. But no, in this campaign, we really have been able to play 70 or 80 years of British history, haven't we, in great detail?
Yeah.
And with 4 or 5 covenants at the height, I think?
Yes.
I mean, there's now Brabonicum.
Yeah.
That's a player covenant, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's Martin's Mere, which is in Lancashire. Brabonicum's, yep, in Cumbria.
Yep.
There's Avalon at Glastonbury. Witchwood,
yep,
which is near Oxford. Wadenholm is long since gone NPC and disappeared.
Yep.
And I don't know, is there any other covenants I've missed?
No, I think the rest are NPC. But
there was Broseley.
The NPC ones keep popping up, yeah.
Yeah. So we occasionally have new NPC covenants, which are run by the referees. And how many referees have we got? Phil,
Anna, Andy,
Martin,
yeah,
Matt still referee sometimes.
Maybe
Sunette definitely was, yep, a primary. So we've got a whole bunch of referees who are running a saga. So if anyone's interested in getting involved and being new blood, you're very welcome. People come and go. It's the nature of a role playing game of this size, but it does prove that Ars Magica does work. And there were some things that came up which you would never see in an ordinary campaign. One of the things we house-ruled was stat-boosting spells. Do you remember?
Oh, I know you restricted them. I can't remember how you worked that.
Well, the reason we did it, we actually put a restriction that they had to be designed specifically for the individual magi.
Right.
Because otherwise they warped you, which is how, yeah, the rules as written say, I believe.
Yes.
And the reason for that was that characters were creating stat-boosting rituals.
Then you cast them on all your friends.
But the thing is, if you allow them to work at circle...
Yes.
But the thing is, you would have to work it out, as the spell would have to be for all of the people who were going to be in that one circle.
Yes.
Because that means you only need to use 12 pawns of least once, rather than 12, yeah, pawns...
Well, 11 pawns however 11 many times.
11 pawns however many times, yeah. So it becomes much more doable. And also, another thing is that because of the way the rules work, over a period of time, if you're not careful, if you're concentrating on the adventures, the players will stockpile their
And they'll end up with so much waste that it's coming out of their ears.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, there's very little need, I found, in our... Yeah. Maybe we were too generous at the beginning.
No, you've been following the rules as intended in what... We've not been above what people consider a medium V-saga. It's not been a high V-saga at all. And many companies complained about being low Vs by the rules, but actually, by the time you've had a longevity ritual, made yourself a modest talisman, a couple of enchantments, got it familiar, what are you going to use the rest on? If you have too much flying around, suddenly it's healing rituals every time someone gets a scratch, and hey, let's give out magical weapons to the grogs because we can.
Yeah, absolutely. But the interesting bit about the game is that a lot of the economics do actually work. A lot of the things, such as... And some of the slightly more obscure things prove... I mean, one of the rules... One of the things I absolutely regret that no playtester pointed out before was when we wrote the Hermetic Culture chapter for Normandy.
Yep.
I invented the Hermetic Tournament.
But it takes two or three sessions to play through properly. So doing that every 7 years is going to slow your saga right.
Right. One thing we should do at some point in the future is have a competition for someone to create a Hermetic Tournament game, mini game, that can be run but from the stats, from the characters.
Yeah.
But which doesn't require you to...
role play through for hours.
Yeah, because that is just such a... Yeah, it's a major... Because Normandy's a lovely setting. And I did recently play some Provençal again.
Yeah.
But most of our saga has been set in a variant Stonehenge, something that was cobbled together. And one of the problems with it was that when I started it, I really had no idea that we were going to be playing a lengthy campaign.
No.
So I just took ideas and threw them together quickly to make something that would work. And there was one wiki page.
Yeah.
Another thing that we've learned from it is that running a saga like this, I mean, I've always opposed paid refereeing, but actually there was an argument here that we should have charged a fiver a week or something, just because of the sheer amount of work that's gone into administration. I would have, if I'd been paid, I probably could have actually made a living off it and actually done it properly. One of my regrets is that I'm very much a gentleman, not an amateur when it comes to these things. I refuse to...
Not a player,
yeah. Yeah, I refuse to actually get involved in the professionalisation. I am an amateur. An amateur in the good sense of I like to do things because they're fun, not to make money. But unfortunately, we hit the problem that the amount of work that I was being asked to do by the referees was so ridiculously high at times that I actually walked away and became increasingly hard to track down deliberately as the only way of staying sane.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, three or four nights a week were going to be taken up with answering queries.
Yeah.
So you need to have a much more structured team. You need to... People have taken on board. I mean, it's grown organically into people doing what they want to do. And people burn out quite quickly.
Yes, because once you start trying to nail down all those chamber pots, you soon run out of nails and start going, I don't know where they all are anymore.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is that if I'd spent 6 months or even 3 months planning and preparing documents and ideas and adventures, we could have had a really successful campaign. But instead, everything has grown out of the plot and the story's being told as we go, hasn't it? And
it's worked.
Yeah, for me, part of the frustration was when we did switch over from Fantasy Grounds to Foundry, a lot of my files were still on Fantasy Grounds, so that made it harder. But it's worked. It's worked well. We've had some really good stories. We've had some memorable long-term characters.
Yes.
Such as the old boy from your one. What was he called? Not Duras, his mate.
No. Began with a W. Was it...
Anyway,
he was a very old man.
A very old man who...
He started off as a very elderly grog with enchanting music, and he just kept going. We took him to the baths in Bath and set him there to heal his poor old aching joints.
Yes. And he explained that he didn't have a wiener, whatever that meant, because it had fallen off, so he was allowed to go to the ladies' baths. He was a peculiar old boy, but he was a good laugh, played by Phil. We have had some really memorable characters. The unfortunate Cademan... A holy knight who has had a series of increasingly unfortunate adventures across the Holy Land.
Well, holy characters do, and we've had a couple of pilgrimages. We've used those rules from the church quite well. We've used the miracle rules from the divine, and
Scriptor became a Holy Magus.
Yes. That was inflicted upon me. If I'd been planning to become a Holy Magus, I'd probably try to read more books and get my arts up first. But it was one of these things which happened. I believe I had a twilight experience immediately after a miracle had occurred, so I became a Holy Magus, and that suddenly changed the entire focus of the character.
And of course, there was a very popular and much loved clergyman, Father Martin of Bridgewater,
who... Never has a nice man been abducted by the Fae.
No, no. In fact, your unwillingness to rescue him was highly noted.
Yes.
I believe he spent 7 years as the plaything of a fairy queen because you refused to go and rescue him.
We were getting around to it.
You were getting around to it. Father Martin is one of those recurring NPCs who was quite notorious in the first half of the campaign, I think we could fairly say. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've enjoyed ourselves. We've had a lot of fun. We've made a lot of new friends. I think it's fair to say that we've got a lot of people who have met one another and got to know one another through the game. And we meet up once a year at Grand Tribunal in Cheltenham. When is Grand Tribunal this year, Tom?
So, according to the calendar on your wall, it is Friday the 9th to Sunday the 11th of August, 2024.
And are those the correct dates?
Yes, I believe so, because many people were thinking it would be the following week, only you hadn't updated the wiki page.
Yeah.
And the venue has confirmed... 9th to 11th of August is the weekend written in their diary.
Yeah, unfortunately we wanted to do the weekend after because Andy will be back and he's going to be away this year on holiday. But sadly we weren't able to get the weekend we wanted. So 9th to 11th it is, but at least we've still got Gas Green at the same deal as last year. Because Gas Green is now, I believe, passed into private hands and is no longer run by the... It's now run by a management trust. So the only reason we're getting it, the amazing deal we have, is because they've penciled us in.
Yes.
And we have to run, you know. But that's fantastic because it's a great venue. We've got a lovely bunch of people who come every year. And tickets are available from the website, which is at www.grandtribunal.org. If you head over there now, I believe you can buy your tickets. If you can't, you can email me directly and I will make arrangements for you to be given a ticket. But yeah, you should be able to buy them at last year's rates, which are very cheap, and they certainly won't get any cheaper this year. So please do go. We have already arranged the booking. Everyone's in position. So really, it's just a question of who's coming and what we're going to do. And hopefully we'll be celebrating the launch in September.
Well,
or August, or whatever
autumn,
it is.
Well, officially. Yeah.
Of the new edition. Well, the revised.
Definitive edition.
The revised version. So, and I very much hope to be able to, you know, tell everyone more about that. We might even be able to get David either to come online or to come over in person again, as he often has from Japan.
Or send you his press release.
Next episode, next week, we'll be back. We're going to be talking about starting your first Ars Magica game, and we'll be talking about some stuff we've been doing for Ars Magica. Tom, you're still updating Magi of Tom, I believe.
Occasionally. I've only made, one entry in the last year, but more will be coming. Because the Definitive Edition is coming, I do want to have a few more sample characters out there, so there should be more coming.
If you're interested in playing online or learning more about our saga, drop us a line and we can certainly introduce you to people. We use software called Discord for sound. We don't tend to bother with cameras and we don't stream. I don't think we've ever done... We might have done one actual play, but it's, you know, we're role players. We're not voice actors or performers, no. So Critical Role this is not. But nonetheless, it's a lot of fun. Oh, and in other news, David Chart, tell them about David's latest initiative.
So David has launched a Patreon to encourage people to send him a little bit of money, and in return, he'll give you his thoughts on setting up sagas and on how a perfect Ars Magica starter set would look.
Yeah, he's working on that at the moment. That's really worth paying attention to. If you're interested enough to come along and listen to this, you almost certainly should be subscribing to David Chart's Patreon. So head on over and do that now. Obviously, the best source of news is always the Ars Magica forums, and there's also an Ars Magica Discord group, which I'm not very active in because I'm not very active full stop these days. But you will always be able to find out what's going on in the latest in Ars Magica if you come along and ask us. And if you haven't seen it yet,
What's the excellent Hermes Portal? Is that the latest one? Hermes Portal, Mythic Perspectives,
Sub Rosa is the one that's still running.
Sub Rosa is absolutely fantastic. You should go along and try and get the back issues of Sub Rosa.
Yes.
So,
but Distant Lands Publishing is still creating new issues. So, Sub Rosa still active. Project Red Cap still active, and they've started allowing people to create new edit accounts. They had to shut for a little while because of bots, but they've got things sorted. And you can now go in and edit the entries if you want to. If you fancy being the wiki deity of Ars Magica,
Project Red Cap. Okay, well, we'll include the link to Red Cap, as we always do, in the notes to this, and indeed to David's Patreon and everything else. So, it's been 5 years, and we have our excuse is that while we haven't been talking about Ars Magica, we have played more Ars Magica than at any other point in our lives. And in fact, some of us have ended up playing Ars Magica 3 nights a week. You've been playing only once a week, haven't you?
Yes.
But many of us have been involved 3 or 4 nights a week in Ars Magica. And I think there isn't a night of the week when you cannot play an Ars Magica game somewhere at the moment. So if you're interested and you'd like to get involved, let us know. And if you've enjoyed hearing from Tom and Chris again after a rather lengthy gap, this has been Tom Knoll, Chris Jensen-Roma, and we are Arcane Connection. This is Cheltenham Calling.
Good night.
Good night.